Welcome, everybody. It's time for the real world of sales. Let's take a real look at real people and what they do to really sell their products and services in this really ever-changing world of sales. With the woman who's on top of it, who's spinning the entire globe for the rest of the world here, we're talking about Ashley V. Welcome, Ashley.
Hi, Paul. Thank you so much.
You are all decked out. You're spinning a purple basketball. You got your stuff on here.
Yeah,
what
that's
the heck?
Right.
We're talking sports marketing today. Is that what we're going to talk about here?
Exactly. Yeah. We're talking sports marketing for pro sports, college sports, everything sports with
all right.
Corey.
Well, the first thing before we do that, let's give a shout out to the people who support this show. I understand you're using your product, your sponsor's product, to stay cool this summer. Is that
yes,
true?
I've been drinking some vodka, Earth Vodka.
Like minutes ago? Or
I don't know.
What do you like
What's
about
in this bottle here, Paul?
What do you like about Earth Vodka? What's good about it?
What I like about Earth Vodka is that it's a very clean and smooth vodka, and they help the environment also, like the packaging, the way they make the product. It's made here locally. It's an American company. It's actually from Orange County. And, you know, you can use it in your martinis, your cocktails, all your drinks, and it's really refreshing. It's different. It's different than other types of
And vodka. It was chosen by Wine Enthusiast as one of the best new vodkas out there. That's
yep.
something. That's quite an accomplishment.
Exactly. Because
they really,
Definitely.
Wine Spectator doesn't just obviously talk, Wine Enthusiast rather doesn't just talk about wine. They talk about all spirits here.
Right.
Well, I thank him for supporting this show. I look forward to trying mm-hmm. something. You haven't shared any of it with me here. You didn't bring
it. I know.
Along.
You have to come to my parties, Paul.
I guess
I'll make you a drink.
Okay. Well, we'll wait for the next one, folks. We're all going. We have a giant party.
I'm bummed we don't have any because I would love to have a glass of vodka. This show.
I think we could do that. All right. Where do we get? Where do we check them out? Where do
yeah.
We
so Earth out? Vodka, you guys can get at BevMo and Total Wine stores and some liquor stores also in Orange County.
And Ashley's parties. Okay. Well,
exactly.
We're having a party
yep.
here today.
That's
Who'd
right.
you bring with us here? This guy, obviously, he can spin a basketball. He must have been the sports marketing here.
Right. So we have Corey Chakarian, and he's a pro expert. He's been a sales executive for the NBA, for the Clippers, the San Francisco Giants, Major League Baseball, NFL, all pro sports. So he has a lot of really cool sports strategies and stories.
Can I ask one question, then I'll try and stay out of this thing, because I'm a big sports nut, so this is a cool thing to talk
yeah.
to somebody who's involved in any aspect of the sports industry. He's trying to figure out how to get the ball from
there,
rolling
I don't
over.
Want to
there
roll
go.
Away.
But I thought everybody would be like solo. They would be, I spend my whole career, I played basketball, I'm going to do basketball, and that's what I do. You jumped around to lots of different sports. So that's
Yeah, no,
Not
I
expected.
I'll give you a little bit of my background. I played football, basketball, and baseball in high school, so I did love those three sports.
Out here or someplace else?
In Northern California is where I grew up.
Okay.
I'm actually in the Marin County High School Athletic Hall of Fame
wow.
and my high school Hall of Fame. I'm in the same
Congrats.
Hall of Fame as Pete Carroll, if you ever heard of him. He's a current
yeah.
NFL coach.
Yeah, little guy who was at USC and now
and USC.
And coaches
yeah.
the Seahawks.
That's my claim to fame is I'm
he
in the same
He was a coach when I went there to USC. I
USC.
Saw Pete Carroll on campus.
He's amazing.
And I waved at him once.
He's amazing.
It was so fun.
So the reason I'm in the Hall of Fame with him is because we went to the same high school.
Okay.
Redwood High School in Northern California, and so we're both in the Redwood High School.
So multi-sports, and then you came out. Did you play professionally? And did you do anything?
I didn't play professionally. That was the dream, and so but didn't quite have the talent to get there. I did play in, baseball in college at the University of Michigan.
Go Blue, yeah.
Go Blue, that's right. So I played baseball in college. Always wanted to be involved in sports, but you know, I realized while I was playing in college that I wasn't quite the pro level player. So what
yeah.
can I do
yeah.
besides playing
right.
So you work in
to be
sports.
In sports? Yeah, work in sports.
And so
that
how did you get
that
first gig?
That's the hard part, is getting your foot in the
That's
door.
That's what I would think.
That's
yeah.
the difficult part, because if you think about sport, everybody likes sports, and a lot of people like sports, and there are very few jobs. So it's like super mm-hmm. high demand to get in and very low supply of jobs, and so it's difficult to get in. I remember my very first meeting. I'll talk about my first meeting. I grew up in the Bay Area, went to Michigan, and went back to the Bay Area after I graduated. And I met with the A's, the Oakland A's, who are probably going to Vegas pretty soon. But the Oakland A's, I remember I was fortunate enough to get a meeting with them. And the first person I met there was like a really high up person in the organization. I think he was president of the team actually at the time. But he told me in that meeting, you have to be willing to pay to work in sports,
what?
Not get paid.
What?
Yeah.
You pay us to come.
Oh, you pay us to come work for us because it's such a privilege to work in sports. That was like the mentality that he taught me like day one, my first experience in an interview. So right then I realized that, you know, it's going to be challenging to get in. I did get my first gig in sports sales. I was working with the San Francisco Giants doing ticket sales, and that's an entry point for a lot of people in sports is ticket sales because everybody needs to sell tickets right. in sports. But I was working for $10 an hour. I mean, this is a long time ago, but working for $10 an hour, my friends are like, you're crazy taking a job for $10 an hour, but that was my foot in the door, and I did that for about 11 months.
Wasn't it like cold calling kind of
yes,
sales you do?
Okay. Exactly. Boiler room kind of stuff, but not, I mean, not like that exactly, but literally right. sitting in a little dungeon at Candlestick Park, for those old enough to know what
lit
Candlestick
by
Park
candlesticks
is.
Or yeah. probably the candles was, and they didn't have electricity, they just had candles in the room
here. We called it the dungeon, and that was our place to work.
Oh,
was out
gosh.
Of the dungeon. And cold calling, yes. My job was also to renew accounts, you know, so I had some warm leads, so to speak, bring people back who are season ticket holders and group buyers. But our renewal percentage was abysmal. The team was bad. That's the one thing we can talk a little bit about is like what we sell when we sell sports is we sell experiences. We don't want to sell the team and their performance because when a team sucks, which most teams go through cycles of sucking, the Giants at that point were really bad. I think they lost almost 100 games in baseball.
Wow.
That's really, really bad.
I grew up in Michigan, and so I went to the University of Michigan too. Go Blue.
Go Blue.
And I was always amazed. The Lions... The Tigers had their day, but most of the Detroit teams sucked for long, long periods of time or long stretches.
Poor Lions fans. I feel for Lions fans.
I mean, every year, maybe this is the year they're talking about again. Hooray, but it's a possibility. But it's always next year. And I thought, and they would sell tons of tickets. It wasn't like the stands were empty. And
yeah.
I thought, how? Why?
How do you sell sports is really the big question, right? You know, we like to always say, too, in sports, we're selling either wins or we're selling hope.
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah.
So the Detroit sports scene has been selling hope for decades, and it's never coming true. But, yeah, you're selling wins, you're selling hope. But really what you're selling when it comes down to it, when you sell teams, you're selling experiences, you're selling connections, like human connections.
Go with your kids, hang out with your friends.
Yes, spend more time with family.
Clients
like,
and pressure
if I were
clients,
to sell yeah. tickets to you and sell even a suite, let's say a suite, like a super expensive thing
right.
that
we need
is
a suite
really,
here for OC Talk. I actually said she was going to get one through you.
You can probably get one at crypto.com for like the Lakers and the Clippers and stuff, but it's only like, you know, about $300,000 a year or so for a suite, so you can probably
Ashley can handle that.
On this budget, I'm sure it's no problem.
I know about that. I need a raise.
But selling experiences, so it's about connection, spending more time with family, spending more time with clients, spending more time with prospects in your business, trying to utilize tickets as a marketing tool for your business is what we would sell. When it comes to sponsorships, you're selling that again, human connection with celebrity, human connection with the brands that of these teams are very well received in their markets. Even if they are losers, their brand is still well received.
Is there like certain players that you also promote, like the star players that help?
Celebrity sells for sure.
Right.
And and you, the
you're saying sometime you actually get a pro player to come out to one of these meetings. Bank
100%.
Wells Fargo's thinking of buying
yes.
a luxury suite or something.
Yes. No, they're a great example of our sales teams. Our interactions with players really comes down to like, how do we close a deal? So a couple examples, the Wells Fargo example I talked about a little earlier, but Wells Fargo is interested in a suite. Wells Fargo is interested in a sponsorship with a team. What better way to wow them in a meeting than to actually bring a player with you? So if it's, you know, if it's an NBA team, you bring an NBA player, whatever, you just bring a player with you, like a 7-footer walks through the door with the CEO, they're going to be like instantly wowed in that
moment.
They'll
want their picture
for
suddenly.
Sure.
And more likely to sign on the dotted line to get the deal
autograph.
Done.
Yeah, definitely. That's a neat sales pitch.
That's part of it is your connection with celebrity, which a lot of these players are big celebrities. And, you know, you can look at the leagues but overall. The leagues that do a really good job of marketing their players to like superstardom, they seem to have a leg up. The NBA, the way they've
the NBA.
Done that has been tremendous. Football's a little challenging. You got the players are behind the face mask. They're harder to see and connect with. But they do things like create Netflix shows and other ways to sort of really promote the players, or the Hard Knocks shows. If any of those people out there
podcasts,
have seen the Hard Knocks shows.
Stunned how many pro players in all these sports now have podcasts or their podcast networks about, not just for the fans, but meet the players and talk, players talk and dish and trash.
The behind the scenes, you know, behind the curtain, see like what it really like on the inside. That's another part of it. By the way, in sales, that's sort of the angle that we could use all the time when we're calling people or cold calling people. Anybody out there who's cold calling for a product that's mundane or an everyday product, you know, they probably get hung up a lot. But when you're calling from the Los Angeles Lakers, you know, you get a lot of callbacks just because you're calling. Like, are you draft? Wait, why are you calling? Are you drafting me? Are you gonna, you want to invite me to a game? I'm in. I'll take that call. You're going to introduce me to LeBron? I'll take that call all day long. So that is the beauty of sales in sports, is that there is a cool factor of it, and that's an advantage that you have, is you will actually get callbacks. But if you're calling from, you know, I don't envy anybody selling, you know, mundane products like vacuum cleaners or widgets or whatever they're selling. Copiers must be a really hard gig, you know?
And then you have to sell, like, the name of your company and who you are. But at least with, like, the NBA and sports,
it's
pro-sports,
known.
People, yeah,
door
people
opens.
Know, everybody knows it.
It's out
so
there.
How, what do they sell, and how do they sell it?
What in sports, what are we selling?
What are you selling? Just selling tickets? Are you selling sponsorships?
Yeah, no, like, briefly touched on it. You're selling the experience. That's what you're selling. You're selling how cool it is to spend more time with your family, to spend more time with clients, and to do that in person, in real life, in today's world where you can watch the game at home and it's wonderful. Like, getting those moments to get together in person is rare. And that's the opportunity that we're selling, is to be together in person in real life. There's no substitute for live experience. There really
but
isn't.
Nobody's ever called me up to sell me a ticket to a sport.
You should be on everybody's list. I don't know what's going on.
God, maybe I'm just
why aren't you
that?
Making the list?
Yeah. But I have you ever been approached, Ashley, to people? You said when you played high school basketball that they were always trying to get the women's
right. Yeah,
NBA.
I think the WNBA came to our high school or contacted us to have our team go to the Sparks games. Mm-hmm. But
that's good salesmanship. They should reach out to every high school team in the area.
That's all I've heard as far as like cold calls for sports. But I can imagine you're probably going to be calling like companies.
Well, right now you're what? You're a sales manager at a company right now?
Yeah.
How big's the company? Do you know, like,
well,
how?
We have we're all over Southern California. I don't know exactly how many people.
How many millions of dollars of business are you guys doing? Any idea how big of a annual sales?
I don't know.
If it's in the millions, then that's doable. That's doable. So, but you'd be a candidate to cold call. You would be as a sales manager. We in sports. If you're calling about tickets now, and I've worked in tickets and in sponsorships and in general marketing in sports. But if you're talking about tickets, you'd be a great candidate because.
Thanks.
You have well you actually right, you have some interest you have some interest in sports that helps right away but no yes. you if you're a sales manager you have a sales team you have incentives in your company to reach goals tickets can be used as incentives for salespeople tickets can be used to drive behavior within an organization tickets can be used for your prospects hey what better way to get together with someone you're trying to sell than to like meet them at a game or invite them to a game. So that that's a lot of the ways we use tickets to sell.
I'm sorry to keep jumping in, but you're just making me think here. So sales of tickets, that's a big one.
That's what I'm here to do.
Sponsorship. They want to you want to put your name on the whatever on the what kind of sponsorships?
Yeah. So sponsor. What's sponsorship mean? The easiest way to describe the biggest and boldest sponsorship is the naming rights
on
that,
the building.
That should, so that makes sense, right?
Like
if you follow the news here in LA the last few years, you saw that what was the arena called before the big one?
Staples Center.
For 20 years, it was called Staples Center.
It's like Crypto Center or something.
Crypto.com
the
new Crypto.com Arena.
Wow.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
No.
But we're talking big money. I mean, this is a deal, I believe it was 20 years, $700 million.
But short of that, what other sponsorship opportunities?
Ticket sales are interesting in that there is inventory and a finite number. Once you've sold out of them, you can create new experiences, like different seating experiences. But for the most part, it's just like you're buying a seat. Once it's sold, it's done. You can't resell it again. Right. Now, that's actually another whole story. You can resell it.
Do season tickets a lot, though?
Yeah. So season tickets make up that's what you want to sell the most of. I'll give you some quick numbers, not to bore everybody about numbers, but think about Staples Center in round numbers, Crypto.com Arena, 20,000 seats, all right?
Okay.
The goal is to have more than 10,000, more than half of them be season ticket holders. And the reason you want to have season ticket holders is that's like your base revenue and your base attendance every game.
It's predictable.
It's predictable. If you had to sell 20,000 for every game, like you could never sell fast enough and get those all sold. So you start with this base of season tickets, then you can chop it up into group tickets, which is like your high school team coming out,
okay,
or your company coming out, and then you go to finally individual people wanting to buy individual games.
And you use a lot of these websites too now to sell your tickets. You do a lot of online sales there.
Yeah, online sales is something we revolutionized at the San Francisco Giants. We created like a whole group sales online selling way, but Our philosophy at the NBA, and I'll never forget the words, and I gave a talk, it was like, I want to be selling tickets 24 hours a day when you sleep is what I want to do. That was like with the advent of the internet. Like in the old days, it was like, you know, there wasn't an internet.
Yeah.
And you literally were like selling hard tickets out of a room, right?
Yeah.
But today you can sell tickets at any time, any place, anywhere. But yeah, utilizing different online tools, the group sales world is an interesting one. If you think about a traditional group, so think about your high school team coming out to a game.
Okay.
So let's call it 15 players and then a few coaches. There's family of those players. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, that group can balloon up to like 50 people might come from your one team. If you have a couple family members plus the team, now you're like 45 players,
the parents, 50
players.
Come, and some of your friends.
So you got a nice group of 50 people. That's a good sale in sports.
I see.
The old way of doing that was calling your coach and saying, buy 50 tickets for me. And the coach is like, I don't want to put up money for 50 tickets and do all this work to put it together.
Right.
We've created technology today, websites and companies that now you basically, all the person has to do is send a link out to all the people wanting to come and they buy on their own, but they buy, all the tickets are bought together. Everybody sits together.
Special
it's all organized through technology.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a discounted price, a special price.
Right.
And the person that organizes it doesn't have to do any work other than tell people, just go here to get your tickets and you're part of our group.
It's a lot easier, definitely.
It's an easy way to do it.
Have you seen what's so funny to me is like when I've been to basketball games at the Staples Center, crypto isn't even doing well now, so I don't even know about the name.
Crypto.com is not like FTX. It hopefully will still be around, but yeah, go ahead.
Hopefully, right? But I used to see those people that were standing outside on the street
scalpers.
Selling tickets too. Yeah, yeah.
Well, we could talk about that. That's a fun evolution in sports. So the old days were, guys on the streets selling tickets. I got two here. Who needs two?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
The new world is StubHub and SeatGeek
and
Game Time and who else? There's a million other Vivid Seats is actually the industry leader right now in resale. It's called the secondary market and it's all done online really today. The idea of standing on the street corner selling tickets is really long gone today. There are rarely even any hard tickets anymore, meaning physical tickets you hold. Most of the tickets today are held electronically, digitally on your phone.
Yeah.
And so
if you had tickets, like I had tickets to the University of Michigan when I was a student.
Yes.
I didn't want to go see every game. And
you resell them?
I'd resell them. I'd stand out on the corner and say, hey, I got two here.
Make a business.
And I did. And then I started collecting tickets from other kids that didn't want to do it. And I actually
made a little business out of it.
A little business out of it here.
Nice.
Not
Paul
supposed
was a scalper.
To. I was a scalper. And today, I've seen more and more teams say, I don't know if they all do this, if you're a season ticket holder, you're not going to go to every game. We've got a way to do it.
Yeah.
That you can, and do the teams take a piece of that?
I was part of that revolution with the San Francisco Giants. We did a couple things with the Giants that were revolutionary in that space. First of all, we created scanners and barcodes where you could scan the ticket. So what that did is the original ticket that was purchased by the season ticket holder would then be killed and unusable the second it sold, and the new ticket was issued, and that one was the only good one. And that technology allowed you to resell and do it electronically and never meet the person you're selling to.
But did the teams get a piece of that resale?
Yes. It was 10% in and 10% out, like 20% essentially.
So they sold me the ticket as a season ticket holder, and then they helped me resell the ticket and made profited off of that resale.
Yes. Yes. And you filled the seat. You did two things. One is you made the season ticket holder happy that they were able to sell games they didn't want to go to, or maybe even make a little money on the side. But you made the season ticket holder happy, which did what? It increased your season ticket base. Exactly. You get more people interested in buying.
I only go once in a while. Why am I buying season tickets? Yeah.
And then the second part is you open it up to a whole new market of people to come to your games and create new fans. And those individual buyers become partial plan holders and season ticket holders. And you sold the ticket heights and you get a little percentage of that. It wasn't so much about the percentage you're earning on top of that. I mean, it's relatively small revenue stream when you think about the
resale.
And if
you fill up the building,
but it is a little bit
good. And then more
100% no shows. The no show factor decreases as well because people who can't make it can now transfer to somebody who can make it.
And then they buy more popcorn and more pennants and everything.
Drop count is what that's called in the organ, in the how many people actually make it to the building after tickets are bought. A lot of times you'll see you guys hear this all the time, like attendance. It's like, oh, there was 40,000 people there tonight at the Miami Marlins game.
Right.
And actually there was only like 6,000 people who made it.
Yeah, but they don't show it on TV. There could have been
40,000 tickets sold and only 6,000 showed up. But
do you guys do any media sales too? In sports like TV?
So that's one area I never worked. But those are the three revenue streams in sports. It's tickets, it's sponsorships, and it's media sales. And that would be TV rights, you know, streaming rights, and radio rights, and all those things. Those are the three main revenue drivers for sports. Now, the little revenue drivers are things like merchandise, food and beverage, and all these ancillary revenues.
Parking.
Yeah, those are the ancillary revenues, we call it. And those make up minuscule percentages.
But that seems to be growing because there more and more the Dodgers were, when they sold that team, they were worried about who gets the parking rights in Anaheim.
Dodgers are unique. They're unique. Like, Crypto.com doesn't own the parking lots around it. Mm-hmm. They might own one or two, but they basically don't get huge parking. But Dodgers are unique, and they own all that land.
Big bucks.
And that, if you think about, what if it's an average, you know, they park 20,000 cars there. So think about a $20 parking pass times 20,000 cars. Like, that's big money.
It's like money really overpriced parking.
That's big money. And I think it's more than 20 these days. But yeah, that's a huge revenue stream. I think I calculated it once, like around $10 million or something annually in parking, or more than, it's probably more than that.
And what are the sponsorship? We're at UCI's Applied Innovation Center, so they have big events downstairs, corporate events. I say big events, 500 people, a couple hundred people show up. I'm always marvel at the sponsorship. There's a title sponsor, like there is at a sporting game. Somebody has their name brought to you by this bank.
Right.
Then there are all the secondary sponsors, the gold sponsors, the platinums, the silver sponsors. And then I sponsor the luncheon. I sponsor the I sponsor the program. I sponsor the bar, open bar.
Sponsorship is limitless. I was getting to that point earlier and we got sidetracked a little bit, but ticket sales is a finite number. You can only sell so many. Sponsorship, you have some inventory, so to speak. Like, you only have one naming rights you can sell, but you can almost sell anything in sponsorship. Well, you can sell the air. You can sell, like, you know, spaces that don't exist. Like, sponsorship has almost limitless opportunities to add.
Somebody
now
sponsors the coffee cup that everybody gets. Somebody's brought to you by this. Somebody sponsors the bag that everybody holds as they walk around and collect stuff.
Yeah. Is it for each team individually or like?
Yeah, typically the way it works is each team has their own sponsorship. Now, the league is responsible for big things like the national broadcasting rights, the media rights that you talked about earlier. That's something the leagues are typically responsible for. The teams are responsible for their own individual local markets. And what the teams are responsible for are tickets in their own markets, local sponsorships. There are national league sponsorships, but that's the league responsibility. But teams are responsible for their own sponsorships in their local market, their own tickets, and their own media rights, which would be like radio, our local TV.
And how about licensing? Local streaming. Where they get to license their name.
Licensing is interesting too. That's really done at the league level. It's not, again, not like a huge revenue source, but yes, you can, you know, license, being able to utilize the marks of an NBA, of an NFL. That's big money to be able to license and use those rights. People, you know, steal all the time and just make products with the those are unlicensed products.
What about the athletes?
Those are the new scalpers.
Who are some like top athletes in the NBA, like some stars that you guys use for yourselves?
I think we would want to use the biggest stars of the best. Like, that's what you want to use. But the
like
ones
Kobe,
who are most, the ones who are most willing are the ones who aren't the biggest stars. But
so everybody wants Brad Pitt to go out and push the movie, but
for
you get the third lead
for
instead
sure.
in Toledo. Yeah.
The ones, you know, the ones who are the least stars are the ones most willing to do it. But I think every league understands that. Every team understands that. It's written into contracts. They have to have certain number of times a year. They need to be present at events and things. the number was 12, I think, with the NBA. Like the player needed to make like a 12 appearance per season. But yeah, I mean, as far as names go, you name it. Then in meeting,
she just wants to hear fan stories. She wants to meet. So yeah. Who did you meet and hang out with?
Mike, I'll tell you my greatest sports experience. I was looking for a company called Legends, which is owned by the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Yankees. And I just happened to be in meetings in Dallas during the national championship, the NCAA basketball national championship played at the time at Cowboys Stadium, which is AT&T Stadium. And so that's Jerry Jones, owner of the Cowboys. And he had a suite right at center court and like 50-yard line for football, center court for the basketball game. I was in that suite. That was my coolest experience ever. I was in that suite, Jerry Jones' suite, which is a massive suite. Like 60 or 80 people are in there.
Oh my gosh, when I go in,
I knew something was up. I didn't know who was in that suite when I got to go in. But when I went in, I was like checked by these guys in black suits with like ear things in. I'm like, somebody important.
Secret Service.
Secret Service. So in that suite that night, 2014, it was Connecticut versus Kentucky national championship game. There was not one, but two presidents. So it was Bush and Clinton were both. So it was two former presidents at the time, but two former presidents were in that room. Plus, I don't know, a dozen like Cowboy players were in there. So it was like Michael
and they were
Irvin.
Rooting
and
for the Cowboys, even both presidents?
Well, the Cowboys weren't playing. That was the national champion basketball game. So it was Kentucky versus Connecticut, but it was Cowboys. But it was Jerry Jones' suite. Jerry Jones was hosting the national championship at his stadium in Dallas.
Open invitation to
That's
Jerry
a good
Jones.
Marketing, right?
And I remember the broadcast, I looked back later, like they shot the president sitting down in that suite like 100 times during the
You don't want to say they shot the president.
Sorry about that. That was incorrect language. They took video of the.
So we're coming to the end here, Ashley. What do you want to know about selling? We could ask you endlessly. What a cool world to sell! And isn't that every salesman's dream? You're selling something. It must be easy to sell. Everybody wants sports. There's no sales involved. You call them up, they buy.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy, but it's fun. But it's because we are selling something fun.
Mm-hmm. And it's easier now than like years ago because you have all the digital side of it now.
Digital sales, and that sort of eliminates the person a little bit when you do some digital work, but because you can market and sell through digital channels, social media. My digital marketing company, Max Sports Marketing. Check us out at maxsportsmarketing.com.
And what do you do through that?
So we do digital marketing of sports teams. Our goal is to get people's attention about your product, which is a sports team typically, or, you know, I work with colleges too. We work with Cal, Stanford, and UCLA and some other schools, USC.
UCI
could use some marketing, right? Oh. But digital marketing is just about getting people connected to your program through social media, through your website, you know, improving your search optimization. You know, when people think about sports in your area and they Google like, I want to go to a baseball game, I hope, you know, hopefully it pops up your team because we've done the right search optimization on your website. So that's us, Max Sports Marketing in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's really important now, the whole digital side for sports, because everybody's on their phones now.
Right.
Just one click away from going to a game.
There's numbers, I think, when you talk about individual tickets these days and the way they're purchased, like half of them now are purchased through the phone.
Wow.
Versus a laptop or calling. Yeah. Nobody's calling anymore to buy tickets.
So give us one takeaway for mom and pop widget company here. Can be big or small, but they're not selling something sexy. They're not selling something ears perk up immediately and go, oh, honey, the NBA's calling. Pick anything. It's an auto part. It's a toaster.
I've got your takeaway. I've got it. Okay. In sports, the analogy we use is in training salespeople in sports, we would have those young people coming up in the sales world think about their most cool sports experience in their life. It could have been going to a random game with their father or whatever, and that was a great memory for them because it was a human connection.
Right.
So when I think about whatever you're selling, figure out what that amazing experience is. It's a human touch, a human feel, a human connection experience. Just look at advertising today that hits home. Advertising today that hits home is about like being with your family or that moment with your mom or your dad or
riding
your grandparents.
The horse and the wind's going
through
your hair.
So what's that experience? What is that experience for your product that you can then weave into your sales pitch and weave into your story as a product seller? that hits home in a different way, and it makes an emotional attachment to that product. We do it in sports by what's your favorite sports moment and what's your favorite San Francisco Giants moment, your favorite LA Laker moment, LA Clipper moment. And that memory creates a visceral kind of experience in the brain of the person, and hopefully makes them make an impulse decision to buy right there on the spot because of that experience. Right. So that's my biggest takeaway or biggest thing I would recommend.
So you believe in emotional sales.
Emotional sales, man.
Not just features and benefits. Here's the list of what it does.
Everybody's got all that. That's yeah. And who wants to listen to that on the phone today from someone calling them or in person even?
I think it has to build that. That builds that relationship and makes it like memorable for people, for sales.
100%. If you can make a direct connection. We call it hot buttons. What are the hot buttons of the people? If it is, everybody has a interest in their family, hopefully. And if you can make that connection, that'd be great. We also like to tie in, like, what school you went to. Hey, the Michigan connection. I love it, right? Like, so if I were calling you and talking about sports, I would dive into our Michigan background and connection and use that as a tool to connect with you and sell you.
And you probably would.
Yeah.
You probably would. You create a bond over there.
Yeah.
What do you think, Ashley? I'm sorry I took over so much here today, but you got
to... I know, Paul, you love sports.
I love sports.
Ashley, you didn't get enough in there, right?
What didn't we ask that you want to ask her?
Well, I mean, I think to me, you know, I'm curious about the players, because that's always what's interesting to
me is players.
How are they, you know, like, are they like partying a lot? Are they like really I got one story.
Okay. No one's listening to this, right?
No. Just us.
No, Joe Nathan. So when I was with the San Francisco Giants, we had a lot of fun with Joe Nathan. He was a pitcher. He just started to come in his own. He came up as a shortstop, but he became a closer of the Giants, and he did really well. And after the first year he did well, he got traded to the Minnesota Twins, and he went on to become the best closer in baseball. I'm thinking the time frame of this was around 2004, 5, 6, 7, somewhere in that time frame. So not too long ago, but a while back. Joe Nathan, look him up. Anyway, so when he was just coming up in the Giants, I was about the same age as him. I worked for the front office. We didn't have a lot of interaction, but we just met one night and like started hanging out and we started going out. But I remember multiple times in my apartment in San Francisco, dancing on the like washer and dryer in the back room to like music after the bars closed. We went back to the apartment and we'd dance on the washer and dryer.
Close out the night with the best closer.
There you go. There you go. So that was a fun, like,
drunk dancing.
Going out partying with Joe Nathan back in the day.
That's awesome.
Joe's a great guy, and I was so happy for his success when he went on to be like the best closer in baseball at the Twins as well.
Oh my gosh.
There you go.
Do you guys still talk?
I haven't talked to him, probably in like 10 years. I probably haven't talked to him.
He would remember those parties.
Maybe he wouldn't want to acknowledge it, but he would remember it.
That was the famous apartment on California Street.
Well, yeah. Ashley, thank you for bringing this guy in and talking about this. What a cool topic. It doesn't seem like the purpose of this show is to present people doing unusual sales.
Right.
If you can do it, we can do it. What can we learn from you? But again, you just got us at hello when you say sports. how hard do you have to sell? But you're saying it really is, there is sales.
Well,
involved.
I think there is an aspect that, like, if you're selling women's sports or men's sports, who's going to go to your game? Guys
for sure. The demographic, the target audience changes dramatically by teams, by women's, men's sports. It definitely changes. One of the things I think I'd like to share too is that the sales process to me is the same regardless of what you're selling. Like, you know, we actually do train in a typical sales process about,
the way you open,
way you tell stories, the way you get them engaged, the way you ask questions, the way you work against the counter, how do you overcome the objections, and how do you close? Like, all those processes are the same. How you sell it, I guess, is really the difference, and that goes back to the experience of selling. That's what sports sales is. It's selling the experience, not the wins and losses, because, you know, a third of the teams are losers, a third of the teams are middle of the road, and a third of the teams are winners. You're not going to be a winner every year, so you have to sell the experience.
Well, what a great experience today having you come in. Thank you, Ashley, here. Give us your website again. How do people find you? Because you don't work for... I'm my own consulting company.
I did work for teams and things like that for many years, and I've consulted for many years now. It's called Max Sports Marketing. Okay. And that maxsportsmarketing.com is my digital marketing company.
How do they find out more about you, Ashley, and all that you do? Where do you want to go for you?
For me, you guys can buy my book. It's called Ferocious Sales Skills on Amazon.
So we're trying to get in here. You
iTunes,
don't plug it enough here.
Barnes & Noble.
Ferocious scale sales skills. I yes. love it. I yeah. love it.
Right? Not just everyday sip. Ferocious yep. sales skills.
Exactly.
Which doesn't jive with your person. You don't come
to
across
me,
as a ferocious, pushy salesperson.
We've talked about this before. Ferocious is about being like determined and persevere in sales. Like
internal
not giving up,
ferociousness.
Not giving up. Yes.
Not like, mm-hmm, like killing people like right. a lion or something,
exactly.
but like internal ferociousness.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
All right. You see how hard I have to work her to get the plug in about her book here? At the very yeah. end, she's like, I got to...
Thank you, Paul.
All right. Well, thank you guys for coming in here. What a cool show here.
Thank you for having
come
me.
Come back and talk more about this, about a world that you somehow think doesn't need any sales. But like everything, we're all selling. We're all salespeople.
100%.
Right?
Right.
That's it. Well, that's it. One more reason to tune in each and every time to the real world of sales. As we talk to the real people who are really selling stuff. Sometimes things you don't think you have to sell at all, but we're all salespeople at heart. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio. Streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Field.